Welcome to the Louis Belina Show. It is Monday. The Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Raise your hand if you're tired. Watching Aggie baseball for three straight nights, and I don't want to say late night, each game was done before midnight, but watching Aggie baseball can be fatiguing. It's exciting. They have an offense that's a threat every time they step up to the plate. And then they have an offense at time. Can't get the runner home from third with less than two outs. They let a guy throw a fastball straight through the heart of the plate for two innings and can't get a hit off him. They have a team that puts up three runs in the eighth, rallies, wins. They do things that are inspirational. And then their bullpen bleeds to death all over the field. They got players that you love. They have a coach that is amazing. Coach Schloss and his staff, all of them are phenomenal. Have a team that started the year preseason number six. And going into the last weekend of the regular season, you had to debate what had to be done to make the NCAA tournament. If you're an Aggie, do you ever just kind of look up to the sky sometimes and go, why? Why can't anything be easy? Just why? Hi, everybody. I'm Louis Belina. Today, we will discuss A&M Stanford. Tonight, winner gets to play Texas in the Supers. The loser will go home disgusted, upset, and frustrated. Winner takes all. Game 7 of a regional. I love that Game 7 title. It, like, doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess if you're a pro fan, you know, best of 7, but yet you don't play that team 7. But Game 7 has an ominous sound to it. Tonight, it's Game 7 of the Palo Alto Regional. A&M Stanford. Stanford will be throwing, like, their number 6 starter on the staff. A&M has effectively no starters. Technically, it'll be like their 4 starter. No, wait, they'll be throwing Detmer, who is their Friday night starter but hasn't started yet. I mean, this is nuts. And this is why we love sports. So we'll discuss much A&M Stanford. We're going to do listen-ins with Coach Schloss. We're going to listen in after the victory against Stanford. We're also going to do a listen in after the loss against Stanford. That's going to happen 11:35. At 12:35, lunchtime 35, lunchtime, thank you, Rudy's Barbecue. We'll begin our summer visits with Brazos Valley Bombers owner Uri Geva. Summertime in Bryan College Station, in case you're new to town, is Bombers time. They are our local Woodbat college baseball team. These are kids that are getting experience for the pros, for pro scouts. A lot of them I have found in the TCL, Texas Collegiate League, are also trying to get some experience for transferring. A lot of talent in the TCL. Bombers, flagship team of the TCL. Bombers baseball, you hear select games here on The Zone, 1150 AM and 93.7 FM. Love the Bombers. I was the play-by-play guy in their inaugural season. I think I did it for about 3 years, matter of fact. So Bombers owner Uri Geva every Monday, 12:35 on the Smoothie King hotline. See, with the Bombers, they got Thirsty Thursday, dollar drinks. They've got all kinds of promotions, all kinds of events. It's good to check with the man who puts it all together. And we do that each Monday. The final part of the equation, this week, I've done this, I don't know, 3 to 4 times a year. I clean out the prize closet. And as we're heading into summer, I got to get rid of the prizes from the spring. And on Thursday, our front desk person here at Bryan Broadcasting brought me a stack of prizes that hadn't been picked up, left over. And we have potluck Wednesday. I got so many prizes back that one day is not enough. Listen in to win executive services from Gold Star Barber Studio. What's an executive service? That hot towel shave that I rave about all the time that I'm addicted to. All kinds of, you know, executive services. You know, you can go to goldstarbarberstudio.com for more info. But today, each hour, I'll be giving away another. So listen in to win. At any time today, question, comments, and or opinions, text me. 979-693-1150. You can light up the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. Cletus in College Station's already texted and said, yes, Lou, I ask why every year. Why doesn't luck break the Aggies' way? Boy, I've got about 10 different answers to that, Cletus. I'm one of those who doesn't believe that luck is like a random event. Teams that get lucky tend to get lucky due to preparation. You have to actually be in position to take advantage of luck. To have luck means something. Because if you stink, getting lucky doesn't win you a national championship. You know, you have to be in position. You have to be like a 10-11 win team that when you get lucky, that's how you get 12 wins. You don't go from 9 to 12 by being lucky. You don't go from 5 to 7 to 12 by being lucky. So that whole luck breaking the Aggies way, I will say this, time after time, a lot of the wounds that the Aggies suffer are self-inflicted. I look back and I see coaching mistakes and coaching problems and coaching getting into the way. I call it almost infrastructure problems, which generally infrastructure, we think buildings. I'm thinking more of the organization. And when it starts with coaching, you can't overcome that. Luck's not going to stop a coach. That's just kind of my view. Canada Matt understands what I'm talking about. He just texted and said, preparation plus excellent timing equals lucky. Yep. But you always, always, always have to be in position to take advantage of luck. Position, that's where that preparation. You've got to have the players to take advantage of luck. Luck can't make you 5-7 to 12-0. Let's talk A&M Stanford. We all know. Not a revelation. Tonight, Game 7, winner takes all. Aggies opened up Friday, Cal State Fullerton. Should have been a cruise control win. A&M pitching is not Hoover levels this weekend in Palo Alto. You got Shane Sedeo giving you that dream. He goes 4-0 with one hit, and you still give up 7 runs. Something disturbing this weekend has been the volume of errors. The Aggies have played 3 games, and they've had multi-error games, 3-2-2, in every single game. 3 errors, 2 errors, 2 errors. And you know what? Oh, they didn't get hurt by it. I heard the announcer say that once. I got news for you. Every time you commit an error, you have to face an extra batter. That is extra pitches. And those are stressful pitches. Every error hurts a pitcher. It's just to what degree it hurts. But every error does hurt a pitcher. So the Aggie defense and the volume of errors and the extra work they're creating for pitching staff, that doesn't need to. You know the Stanford team can rake, because even when the Aggie pitchers haven't walked anyone, the Stanford team has hit this pitching staff. Unfortunately, the Aggie pitchers are also still walking people. That first Stanford game, that umpire strike zone, I blame no pitcher either side if they could not throw a strike. I felt sorry for both pitching staffs with that home plate umpire, where the only way to throw a strike was over the heart of the freaking plate. I understand that strike zones have shrunk this year, that the college umpires now have to call the robo-ump zone. There's no such thing as the black of the plate, but this umpire, it was so noticeable the difference of a righty and a lefty, and robo-ump's not supposed to have a different strike zone, but this umpire had a bizarre, but that's old, that's Saturday, never mind. Aggies even won that game, but what trash. How that guy is working and he gets behind home plate in the postseason should tell you how flawed the umpiring system and the umpire evaluation system is. And even if it's a bad day, his evaluation should have been able to tell you that this guy was capable of being that bad and he never should have worked in the postseason. And it frustrates me because we're seeing it way too common this year. You're seeing umpires that are adapting to the robo zone, and we're seeing home plate umps who are using half of their old zone because they can't adjust to it, and they're using half of the robo zone. So you're getting these Frankenstein strike zones that are unfair to the pitchers and unfair to the hitters, and the umpires themselves can't even call them consistently. The umpiring this year has been inexcusable, and they're not going to fire a single one of them. In most workplaces, if you did your job as bad as they do their job, we would all be looking for new jobs, but not umpires. Oh, I digressed. A&M, Stanford. You know what? I need to take a timeout on top of everything. We will pick up. We're going to be talking a lot about the impending matchup between these two. Does it feel like a heavyweight fight? Because it kind of does to me. This is the Louis Belina Show. I'm inside on a Monday, the Charles Schwab Studio. The Louis Belina Show just getting started on a Monday. The Louis Belina Show presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Yeah, we're talking Aggie baseball. We're talking A&M Stanford tonight. By the way, 7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock first pitch. You can hear Aggie baseball right here on The Zone, 1150 AM, 93.7 FM. Online, radioaggieland.com. And you can tell Alexa, play Zone 1150. So A&M Stanford, Game 7, the if necessary game. Winner advances to take on Texas, the Longhorns, in the Super Regional. You can listen to A&M Stanford tonight, 7:45 pre, 8 first pitch here on The Zone. Astros are at Toronto, opening up a 3-game series with the Blue Jays. You can listen to Astros baseball on Gospel 97.3 FM. That's like 5:35 pregame, 6:05, 6:10 first pitch. Astros baseball tonight on Gospel 97.3 FM. And you hear Astros baseball on The Zone, but when we have conflicts, we put select Astro games over on Gospel 97.3 FM. Astros baseball on The Zone and Gospel, thank you so much to Kelly Burt Dozer. Look, we do everything we can to bring you all the sports that we can on The Zone, Brian Broadcasting. Astros baseball, thanks to Kelly Burt Dozer. Back to A&M Stanford. Anonymous texted me. That ump was all over the place. He didn't call a bottom of the strike zone strike one time. That's what caused Cortez to throw his pitch higher for the run double. Cortez can't give in to that, but it is what it is. Oh, you're talking about Cortez. So you're talking about last night. No. I was talking about Saturday. I'm pretty sure. The Saturday zone was the inexcusable, awful, worst strike zone I've ever seen. I do want to say I've ever seen in college baseball. Saturday was the, left-handers, he would not call the outside of the plate to left-handers. And in the right-handers, it almost hit him in the knee, and he was calling it a strike. We'll start with that part of his strike zone. And that guy was calling it at the ankle, but he wouldn't call it above the knee. Above the knee. But that, you know, okay. I made my point about him. That was awful. J84, every word that comes out of the ESPN2 or ESPN Plus announcers reiterate how much I miss Big Ben and I hate Ben. You know, J84, I've seen the two ESPN Plus / ESPN announcers take a lot of heat. I don't know if they're A-team, but I actually think they're fine. I don't hate and I don't love. I've seen them called Pac-12 homers. Well, ESPN tends to get their announce crews regionally because they hire so many of them. And they're both obviously Pac-12 is what they do for four or five months of the year. And then they got hired to do a regional. I don't think they've been homers. I think it's obvious they're Pac-12 guys and they know the Pac-12. I mean, I'm impressed by how much they know about the Pac-12, but I think they've given Coach Schloss credit, Yeski credit, the Aggie baseball team credit. I don't think they've ever been disrespectful or dismissive. Maybe they've talked about Stanford more because that's what they know inside out. They know the whole Pac-12, not just Stanford. But they have never disrespected A&M. And if anything, they've had tons of praise for Schloss and his staff. So they don't bother me. Look, Ben McDonald on color on baseball is phenomenal. I love him. And like you said, and you said you hate Ben McDonald, his name generally will if you say Ben McDonald or Curtis Laskanik, my right eye will start to twitch. I'll start to shut down. I love hearing him do color on baseball for sure. I don't have a problem with the Pac-12 guys calling the Aggie baseball game. I really don't. To the game tonight, I think it's very simple, by the way. You've got Detmer, Aschenbeck, Sadeo, and Garcia. Four pitchers. You want to get 9 innings out of 4 guys and only 4 guys. And you want to give up 4 runs. I mean, you'll take less. You'll take 0, but I just try and go with this moderate reality approach, right? Yes, you'd kill for 9-0. You'd love Detmer to throw a no-hitter. But you've got 4 pitchers. Detmer, Sadeo, Garcia, and Aschenbeck. And if you're Schloss, it's got to be quick hooked. Nobody gets to work out of a jam. You don't try and get the, we need just one more inning. There is no one more inning. Season's over if you lose. 4 guys, 9 innings. Whether it's 2-3-2-2, 3-3-2-1, it doesn't matter. You got a quick hook, guys. Can you do that with those 4? Detmer pitches some of the best first innings in the history of Aggie baseball and then falls apart in the second. Are you going to throw him for the first and then bring Aschenbeck in to start the second and not even wait for Detmer to fall apart? What can you risk and not risk? I'm just telling you. And to me, what will I take my chances with? How good do I feel about what I just said? If you quick hook Detmer, I feel great about the chances of those 4 pitchers going 4 or less in 9. Anything can happen. And we've seen with these pitchers, anything can happen. And if one of them even has a bad day, we've seen Stanford's offense is good enough. You know, 3 players, 3 runs. And that could be enough to swing the game. So, again, I just stick with, and if one of them gives up 4 runs without an out, the other 3 have to go 0 in their time. It needs to be. Now watch this game be 15-12 and everything I'm saying is absolute garbage. That's in play too. It's game 7. Neither team really has pitching left. But that's in my head I construct it. You got 4 pitchers, and I think it's the only 4 pitchers you want to throw. There's others. I mean, you can bring Lampkin back. He's had a day's rest. He only lasted an inning and two thirds. He had been looking great until Saturday. The thing is, remember Saturday when you won 8-5? The Aggie pitching staff survived by its fingertips. Stanford, in two different innings, had runners at third and less than two and failed to capitalize. Stanford had a chance to put the game away in the middle innings and didn't, so the Aggies were able to win it in the eighth. So, and you know, do you want to take that road again? Anyway, you know how we do Key every Monday. And it's thanks to Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service. I always reward participation on the Louis Belina Show. You know, trivia is dead now that we have phones. In the olden days, you know, they do trivia. Which player? But now people just put it in their phone. It's not even trivia. I reward participation. So, You see this coming a mile away, right? This isn't very innovative or original, but I think it's what's on everyone's mind today. What is the key to the Aggies picking up the W tonight against Stanford? What is the key to the Aggies picking up the W over Stanford tonight? You share, you text me, 979-693-1150. Key to every Monday, lock of every Friday, is thanks to Griffin Locksmith. And whether it's your home or your business, having trouble with your locks, it's not fun. It tends to be stressful. And you and I, we're not like lock experts, so it's hard to be in the dark. Next time you need help with your locks, contact Griffin Locksmith. They come to you. They perform residential, commercial, and automotive lock, rekeying, repair, and replacement. Look them up online at griffinlocksmith.com. Griffinlocksmith.com. What is the key to getting the dub tonight against Stanford? Simplest question I'll probably ask you all year. What is the key? And the what? Or the who? What is the key? Text now, 979-693-1150. I'll be back in 3 minutes and 48 seconds. This is the Louis Belina Show. I sit here pondering inside the Charles Schwab studio. It is the Louis Belina Show presented by, well, B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Two remarkable businesses. One, just amazing family. That's B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Time now, well, a listen-in. This is, and we've got two different listen-ins. I kind of think it'll be helpful, instructive, something we can compare and contrast. First, we're listening in to Coach Schloss, Schlossenhaus. It's a new German food restaurant. Schlossenhaus. This is them meeting the media after the win over Stanford on Saturday. And of course, we're going to listen in after the loss. And we'll get to hear same team, two different results, coach and his reactions. This is the win over Stanford.
All right, from Texas A&M, we have head coach Jim Schlossnagel, and our student athletes are Hunter Haas and Brandon Garcia. Coach, will you open with a statement?
Whew, what a ball game. Thought that was as entertaining of a game for a fan as you'd ever want. We have great respect for Stanford. Their lineup is so competitive, so deep. We really got out of some jams. They had some unlucky liners, one to Hunter, one to Jack. We just got our team together after the first five innings, and with us being down, and we don't have too many team meetings, but just told them, hey man, we're lucky to be within a couple runs. They won the first half of the game. We got to find a way to win the second half of the game. And I thought Brandon settled the tide a little bit, made some good pitches. We made some good plays. I thought Diller did a really nice job. What's his name? Whose at bat was that?
Rios.
Rios's bat at bat took a lot out of Dillard. We're hoping to get through the game without having to use Wansing, but obviously, you know, we needed it, and he made a couple of nice pitches there. Not too many teams have a 9-0 hitter sitting down there like that. So, I mean, that was a heavyweight title fight, and we just need to get some rest and be ready to go tomorrow.
Questions?
Hunter, when you were on deck for that first double in the sixth, how aware were you of where his pitch count was, and how important was it that Max drew that walk to kind of chase the guy, get the pin in there, and see some fresh arm?
Yeah, I knew he was getting up there, but Max has done a great job. He's had great at-bats. Honestly, the last couple of weeks, he's been tremendous there in the nine hole, seeing pitches and getting on base. So, obviously, fortunate they brought him in.
I know he's one of their better statistical guys, but is it something psychological when you can get that starter who's been rolling out and just see someone fresh that kind of can open some stuff up for the offense?
A little bit, not really. We're just trying to compete every pitch, no matter who it is. So I think we took the same approach to both guys. We're just able to be more successful getting those big hits against the lefty.
Brandon, kind of a different role for you coming in after Evan tonight and really bridged the gap and gave your offense a chance to get back in the game. Just your mentality going in that spot and then kind of working your way through those middle innings.
I mean, you just got to go out there and trust that they're putting us in the right spots and the spots that they trust us in. So I just, it doesn't matter what inning really, I was just going to go out there and know that everybody, my teammates have me, my coaches have me, just go out there and play baseball.
Hunter, did they tell you on that, the bases cleared up, did they tell you how close to Troy King getting that ball?
I didn't tell him, but I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
That was going to be my follow-up.
As soon as I hit it, I was like, yeah, don't catch it. Luckily, I got by him, so.
Just Coach, for you, just what does it say about your team that you guys were able to, you know, find a way to grind this one out at the very end? They kept fighting the very end of the two outs. They almost put this up. What does it say to you guys where they hang on? How much confidence do you take from a win like this?
Well, I mean, we've been in those, you know, we played a full week of them last week in the SEC tournament, including a two of our three games at Mississippi State were just down in the ninth inning, the first one in the 10th inning. So I know Stanford's played in those games in the Pac-12, but we've just played in a lot of them recently. I think three or four of our games in the SEC tournament were like 5-4 games, either win or loss. So we've been in there. There's no environment, there's no pitcher, there's nothing that we haven't been prepared for. I'm super confident in our team. I love them. I believe in them. I've told them that all season long. I told them that there's a special story for this club. That doesn't mean the story's over. It doesn't mean we've accomplished anything. I don't think we haven't won any championship this year. We didn't win the regular season, the tournament, and we certainly haven't won a regional yet. So we still have a lot of work to do, and we have a lot of respect for Stanford and Cal State Fullerton. So we have no doubt that this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, when I was at TCU, we had Dixon on a visit and Drew Dow, and so I know exactly how talented they are and what they're capable of doing. And I knew today would be a tough one, but I really felt like the cumulative effect of our at bats, both yesterday and today, wears on a pitcher. And I think we lead the nation in walks. And one thing we never talk about drawing walks. So that's never been a conversation, but it's about seeing pitches and getting your pitch to hit. And I think Hunter got his pitch to hit when he hit the first double, and then I think it was a changeup, right? Drew just elevated. I think it was Drew, right? Mm-hmm. Drew just elevated changeup just enough for him to barrel it up, and it got by Tommy. So. Game of inches, man. Those liners they hit could have fallen in and broke the game open, and the one we hit, you know, gets down the line. So that's how close these games are.
Hunter, you know, bases are loaded. You get that liner. What's the thought in your head when you see he's a little bit off the base there before the throw and then after the throw when the tag's made?
Which play are you talking about?
The double play.
I saw him kind of take a second there. I don't know if he was really aware where I was playing from holding him. But, honestly, just thought about catching the ball first and then looking for Bose to be on the bag.
Coach, how big is winning game too, for your pitching staff to be in this situation, not with your backs against the wall?
Yeah, I mean, it's good, obviously. I mean, we're hopefully have to, you know, just play one game tomorrow. We know that there could potentially be more than that, but yeah, you put yourself in a little bit more of a driver's seat. But we expended a lot to win this game too. Justin had a rough, super rough start. He looked tired from the get-go for some reason. Asher back about the same. Brandon did a nice job, but and so did Dillard. But there's no such thing as a sore arm this time of year. So it's going to take the whole pitching staff to help get through it.
Do you have an idea what's in store for starting tomorrow?
Not sure yet. We'll wait and see how the first game goes. Then we'll make a decision.
Jim, did you, going into this, we told you had 9 walks, given out, and a handful of pitches.
Yeah.
What would you have thought of your chances?
No, I mean, I'm sure we lost the free base war tonight, but every now and then you get lucky. And there's been plenty of times where we've won the free base war, and a couple balls have fallen in. We had a big lead. We had a game in our grasp at Mississippi State, and guy flares a ball down the right field line twice, one for a triple. And so the game giveth and it taketh away. And that's what makes it both beautiful and the most miserable sport on the planet.
Coach, Max Coffer drawing that walk, how pivotal was that play and kind of turning the tide?
I mean, Max is, like Hunter said, Max has had, he's had great at-bats the whole season. I mean, he gets in deep counts, he draws walks. His on-base percentage is significantly higher than his batting average. That's what a good hitter looks like. And now he's starting to get some hits. And he hit that ball good to center field that he made a nice catch on. And so, I mean, he's not a pair of shoes at the plate. And you better make pitches to him. And if not, he'll get on base. And, you know, he even scored from first base on a double today. So I told Minnick he almost caught him. Minnick started to slow down with his age.
And where does this game rank for you in terms of special games?
It's up there, but we got some big ones to get, so it's pretty cool, I guess, obviously getting a big win in the regional and getting a winner's bracket, but I'm just looking forward to tomorrow.
Brandon, you come a long way from, I had to Google Quinnipiac Field and kind of where you came from, and then coming to A&M and then the fall and the spring, just speak to how much more comfortable you are now pitching in these environments than you were maybe in January, February.
For sure. Even going into the first few weeks of the season, I wasn't as comfortable as I am now. But it's just going based off all the work that we put in the fall and the winter, just trusting the process, trusting the routine, just having confidence in myself is a big thing that's helped me do what I'm doing now.
Just in general, what does the day look like for you guys tomorrow in terms of how do you kind of address pregame and just kind of what's the routine look like? How do you kind of keep the team focused and locked in when you got to kind of cool your heels for a bit and also wait for a game to, you know, conclude? How do you deal with that?
I don't worry about our guy. We'll be ready to play when it's time to play. But I want him to get away from baseball and we need as much rest as we can get. We might get up and move around a little bit in the morning. I trust our older players. Sometimes on night games, we'll go get up in the morning and go hit at a high school and just to move them around a little bit. We didn't do that today. I've given them the option, and they'll let me know later tonight if we do that. Otherwise, I mean, we've been on the road, Bronny, for
a long time.
I mean, we were on the road for 11 straight days.
And home for two.
And then we were home for basically 2 days, and then we've been out here. So it's been a long stretch. And those were 9 SEC games in 11 days, and then we played Cal State Fullerton and Stanford. So, you know, there's no soft touch this time of year, so mentally it's best to get away from it, and then we'll come over here tomorrow and we'll start our routine and we'll be ready to go when the first pitch is thrown.
Time for one more.
Brandon, the on the line drive that he caught for the double play, your perspective of that and your thoughts after it happened?
Like Hunter said, the runner didn't know where he was playing, neither did I, so when I saw the ball going by me, I thought it was a hit. But then I just saw Hunter there. It's good to have a guy like him behind me. Just gotta keep doing that.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
That was Coach Slosh, Haas, and Garcia. And that was after the win against Stanford on Saturday. We will do our listen-in after the loss to Stanford on Sunday. And I want to listen to both so we can kind of see both sides of the story. We can compare. We can contrast. I'm saving the loss for second because it's what happened last. You know, Coach explained there how they just needed a day off, and that's what they did before the game. You know, and is that why they lost 13-5? No. Stanford is a really good team. They caught fire. Schloss couldn't afford to risk his good side of the pen while they were trailing. Because he could have, hey, let's just keep it at two, right? But if he would have done that and they lost, he couldn't have used, because again, the good side of the pen. What if he would have thrown Sadeo again, Aschenbach again, and none of them would have gave up a run and they go on to lose 6-5. Then they couldn't, he can't throw them three in a row. They'd been dead in the water today. He did what he could to keep it close. I still don't understand how the A&M offense did not score 10 runs against the Montgomery kid, Braden Montgomery. He threw a fat, flat fastball. Oh, it had velocity. That's all it had. And there was what, hit by a pitch and a hit before they yanked him? Kid got to go like 2 1/3. He gave up one run total, and he shouldn't have lasted three outs. It was just weird that Stanford's bullpen, the guys they threw last night, they didn't have SEC stuff, in my opinion. And this offense just kept swinging through pitches. And especially the Montgomery, which, as you know, the announcers mentioned last night, was the key to the whole thing. Flat and fat fastballs, and they just could not hit him. It's just weird to me. But it happened. It's all about tonight. And it's all about, I'm obsessed with this game. Who's not, right? This is why we do it. And wasn't that a song by like Montel Jordan? This is why we do it. 979-693-1150. Some quick text messages. Anonymous said, Sweet Lou. That would be me. You were the best Bombers play-by-play guy ever. Signed, Bombers greatest official scorer ever. Scorekeeper ever, with an exclamation mark. Thank you for the kind and not so true words. One of my favorite things about doing the Bombers play-by-play was getting to work with Cease. Let's say we're calling a Bombers game and I have to run to the house, go pick up something, sit down, have dinner with a friend, and drive to Houston and back. I could ask Cease one question like, Cease, what did you think of that play? And I'd have time to drive home, go do dinner with a friend, drive to Houston and back, and he still would not have stopped answering the question. So that was my favorite thing, was working with Cease. I did Bryan High football with Cease, I think 2 years. Oh, amazing fun. I love calling games with Cease. I never know what he's going to say. And for that alone, it's worth the price of admission for me. I love being on my toes like that. I think Cease is hilarious. I love working with him. And we did the Bombers games together. And it was just, again, I'd ask something. I'd just kick back and 30 minutes later go, uh-huh. It was good times. When we return, we got a wrap-up hour already? Yes, we do. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio. Low cost, full service, best of all local. That's Schwab. How's it local? Mark Zim, right here in College Station. You can walk into his office, look him in the eye, shake his hand. No phone trees, no call centers. That's local. That's Mark Zim, our local Charles Schwab guy. Hour number one, almost done. The Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. A couple of really quick text messages. You know, every Monday is key too. We look at a game, a big meta question, various things. And key too is thanks to, well, Griffin Locksmith. Griffin Locksmith offers automotive key and remote origination, duplication, and programming. Let's say you've lost your key or remote to your vehicle. Maybe you just need a spare. Griffin Locksmith can help. Give them a call. 822-2705. 822-2705. And today, the question, the table, we're pondering the key to a victory over Stanford tonight. Key two, thanks to Griffin Locksmith. Red in Irwin. Hey, Lou. Key for tonight's game is Detmer no hits the Cardinals. And CS is picked for the Super Regional. Oh, College Station is picked for the Super Regional to the dismay of Chris Flip-Flonte. That is Red in Irwin. So he has Detmer throwing a no-hitter. Texas will host a Super Regional if they're paired with A&M. I finally got the details on how it works. The committee will appoint the regional, Super Regional, because they don't seed outside of 1 to 16 effectively. We know that's incorrect, but and A&M and Texas both are 2. Now, that's true if and only if they both bid before the tournament starts. They had to have already bid for them, and they both did. So the committee will appoint. Texas is the Big 12 regular season champion, and Texas swept their regional. Texas will host the Super. The committee appoints, and I say again, if you take a look at it, it's easy to see how the committee's going to go with this one. Texas will host the Super. Texas is the Big 12 regular. It says they'll look at the resumes of the two to appoint a Super. Well, Texas is the Big 12 champ. Texas swept their regional. Texas will host the Super if it's A&M in Texas. I don't care. Just win tonight. And then Aggies will invade Austin, and A&M can beat the hell out of Texas. A-A-A-A.